My live? Okay. Please silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Children, Families, and Seniors Subcommittee will now come to order. Jude Lean, please call the roll and announce a quorum. Members, please turn on your microphones when responding during roll call so we can accurately record your attendance.
Chair Coster?
Here.
Representatives Basabi?
Here.
Bearfield?
Here.
Black?
Here.
Barrero?
Here.
Gossett Seidman?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Joseph?
Present.
Lopez?
Here.
Maney?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Placencia?
Here.
Rainer Goolsbee?
Here.
Roach, excused. Robinson?
Here.
Tremont?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Woodson?
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Julian. Members, welcome to our first meeting of the Children, Families, and Seniors Subcommittee for the 2022-2024 term. I'm honored to be named by Speaker Renner to serve as the chair of the subcommittee this year. Our subcommittee has jurisdiction over several issues dealing with some of our most vulnerable populations in our state. For today's meeting, what we're going to do is just go over an overview of what those issues are so that everybody kind of understands what our jurisdiction looks like and what we're going to tackle over the next couple years. So some of those key issues include child welfare, mental health and substance abuse, safety net issues, child commercial sexual exploitation, economic self-sufficiency, domestic violence, individuals with certain developmental disabilities in our community, oversight of guardians, Alzheimer's disease initiatives, provision of elder community services, just to name a few. So for our first meeting, as I said, we're going to go over what those issues are and what they look like. Our subcommittee's done so much important work over the years, and I am thrilled to continue that work in my capacity. This subcommittee is incredibly important to me and one that has great interest in my life. I have two special guests today, Colton and Sadie. Those are my children. And part of the reason why this subcommittee is so important to me, I'm also a family law lawyer, and I do work in the private family court system as well as in our child welfare system. And so I, you know, have the privilege, I won't say pleasure, but I have the privilege of being intimately familiar with some of the issues that we tackle in this subcommittee. So I'm really excited to work with all of you and see how we can continue to improve some of the most vulnerable people in our population. Their lives. So before we get into some of the issues in our jurisdiction, I'm going to just ask all of you to introduce yourselves. I'm going to start with our vice chair and Democratic ranking member and ask them to introduce themselves and offer a few brief remarks of their involvement with the subcommittee. So first, I would like to recognize our subcommittee's vice chair, Pat Maney. Representative Maney, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a privilege and honor to be here with you. And with all the new members in particular, welcome to this committee and to the Florida House. It's going to be a fun 2 years and hopefully a very productive 2 years. And I'm excited to work with each of you because of our different backgrounds. We'll bring different ideas to the process. My background, briefly, I mentioned this earlier in another subcommittee, but I represent House District 4. In the far northwest of Florida, in the panhandle. We do need more windows facing west in the Capitol so people know we're over there. The folks in Pensacola say we're the western gate of the Sunshine State, where thousands live like millions would like to. We used to pick cotton up there until we found out that tourists were easier and much more profitable to pick. But for years, I had the opportunity to be a practicing lawyer in Okaloosa County. I guess they decided I wasn't much of a lawyer, so they made me a judge for 29 years. And then after that, I failed retirement. I had the honor to serve the nation in the Army, and I failed retirement there, and so now I'm a second-term legislator. As you might imagine, my judicial and private law practice experience kind of formed my interest in these issues that come before this committee. I was a Baker and Marchman Act judge, amongst other things, for about 8 years. And I really want to see about making that process better, more efficient. I'm interested in guardianship law and how we can provide oversight and reform that law. It's been worked on in bits and pieces, but I think we need a comprehensive look at that law. And I'm, from my time 2 years in the last session on various education committees, I'm really interested in how we could improve the and streamline the medical training pipelines, keeping quality up, but lowering cost and increasing outcome and accountability. So that's why I'm here. I'm excited to be here and work with each of you. And I'm sorry, Madam Chairman, I took a little longer than you anticipated, but giving a lawyer a microphone is a dangerous thing. Thank you.
It sure is, but we all benefit from hearing you speak. So thank you, Vice Chair. And our Democratic ranking member is Representative Felicia Robinson. So Representative Robinson, you are recognized.
Good morning. I'm just happy to be here. I think this is probably my favorite committee that I've been assigned. I'm an educator out of South Florida. I represent House District 104, which covers parts of South Broward and North Dade. I've been with Miami-Dade County Public Schools for the last 28 years, so I'm constantly working with our children. Also, working with the foster care agencies in Miami-Dade County has been a big part of my service, and I like this committee because we kind of give them guidelines in helping to improve it. So this is very exciting, and I look forward to working with each and every last one of you.
Thank you. We look forward to working with you as well. Next, I'm going to ask each of the subcommittee members to introduce themselves. Just a couple words, name, district, where you represent, which counties or parts of the state, and then a particular interest that you might have in this committee. So we'll just go ahead and, Representative Barrero, we'll start with you and we'll wind around.
Thank you, Chair. So House District 111, that's west side of Miami-Dade County. Children, families, and seniors, I think that just about covers everybody. So we have a lot of work on our plate. It's going to be truly an honor to work with each one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kayon Michael. My district is 16 in Jacksonville, and that encompasses the beaches, Jacksonville Beach, Neptune Beach, Atlantic Beach, parts of East Arlington, and Mayport Naval Base. My husband is retired Navy, so we have a lot of our military that love to retire in the city and reside in our state. And my largest interest, I think, is like everyone else, from the cradle until the end of life, is valuable to me. I've volunteered as a guardian ad litem with our state of Florida, and that is people who are involved with children who are in foster care that have been removed from the home for one reason or another, and just having someone as a spokesperson that doesn't have a vested interest in keeping them in the foster care or returning them back to their homes, but is sort of in the middle to just hear from the children, what do they want, and just to make sure that their interests are heard in our judicial system. So thank you very much, and I look forward to serving with you all.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kimberly Burfield. I represent District 58, which incorporates a large majority of Pinellas County. I would say that my interest in serving in this committee has to do with my activities over the past 6 years. I worked with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, where I was responsible for community health. So we were engaged in everything from mental health first aid trainings to making sure we were addressing food insecurity as well as injury prevention. So this committee perfectly aligns with a lot of the work that I have had the opportunity to do and look forward to continuing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Susan Placencia. I represent District 37. That's parts of Orange County and parts of Seminole County. I produce events for a living, which is far removed from a lot of what happens here. However, I've been the caregiver, the primary caregiver, for the last 12 years for my mother and my aunt. They both suffered from Alzheimer's. And I hope to bring a voice to the many families in Florida, like me, children, adult children that take care of their parents. And I'm looking forward to serving with all of you.
I am Patricia Williams, which has had the opportunity to serve as a guardian ad litem, a foster parent, and now as an agent. And my interest in this committee is to keep children safe.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Fabian Basabi. I represent District 106, which is all of Miami-Dade County, east of Biscayne and Aventura back to Miami Shores. I'm truly honored to get to know my classmates. There's some unique and wonderful personalities here that collectively come together with the same common goal, which is to make life better for every tomorrow. Children, families, and seniors, to reiterate what the chair has said, are our most vulnerable, and I'm going to learn a lot, and I'm going to do my best to participate and make change.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle Rayner Goolsby, and it's wonderful to be on this committee. I actually am personal friends with Chair Coster in real life, and we also practice together in family law. I am an attorney. I have had a stint as a public defender, but also working within the child welfare world as well. And as another colleague, I have cared for my parents who are both elderly and both required a lot of in-home services. So I'm very excited to kind of see what we're doing. I'm also, as a shameless plug, going to be filing some bills that are being heavily focused on children and making sure our children are safe, and because that's where we're here for. So I'm super excited. So, yes, that's all.
Good morning. My name is Chase Tremont. I represent District 30, which is southeast Volusia County, just south of Daytona Beach, going into Brevard. This committee is why I ran for this seat. I don't think there's anything more important to a healthy society than having healthy families. It's also very personal to me. My wife and I, we adopted our son, and we also have two special needs children, and my son is 100% nonverbal. And we're also the full-time caretakers for my wife's sister. So we have extensive personal experience dealing with the challenges that face. And a lot of times the stuff is out of sight, out of mind until you're actually walking into it. So people ask me, what are you looking to file? I don't know yet because I don't know. I just know what we've experienced has not been the right track, in my opinion. So very much looking forward to working with everybody on all sides of the aisle here. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on this committee, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Vicki Lopez, and I have the privilege of serving District 113, which makes up a very great part of the city of Miami. I have the urban core of Miami-Dade County, I'm very excited about this subcommittee because, like Representative Tremont, I am extraordinarily passionate about people, all of us, right? And in my district, we have a lot of elderly people who are from ages 70 to 101, and I can tell you that because I've knocked on their doors, and I discovered a great need for the elderly that I did not know existed beforehand. I've also been an incredible advocate for mental health services, both behavioral health for children. I have been working with a wonderful organization in Miami-Dade County, Agape Network, that has been providing behavioral health services, both residential and outpatient, for 35 years. So I am intimately involved in the lives of people who are most impacted by the work of this committee, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work with my colleagues on these issues. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Rita Harris, and I am very honored to represent House District 44, which is South Orange County, and includes amazing neighborhoods like Lake Nona, Meadowwoods, Hunters Creek, and Dr. Phillips. Like so many people, I am excited to be on this committee because I have personal experience. One of my greatest joys is being a mother. My daughter is an amazing young woman, but she did struggle in high school with undiagnosed OCD. So I know that there's so many kids out there who are not diagnosed or misdiagnosed, and it's really important to get that diagnosis so that you can go on to treatment. I also was able to care for my aging grandfather, and I know how difficult it is for caregivers. I think this is probably my favorite committee because, like so many people said, families, children, seniors, they're vulnerable, and they need to make sure that they have people fighting for them and speaking for them, and I hope to do that on this committee. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dean Black. I have the privilege of representing District 15. That's in Northeast Florida. It covers parts of Jacksonville, as well as all of Nassau County. And I'm pleased to serve on this committee because without strong families, nothing else matters. My wife and I have raised 5 children. They are all adults, one of whom is visually impaired. My parents are getting older. My father is in a memory care unit. And for most of the past 20 years, I've volunteered in a ministry to help men suffering from addiction problems. So I look forward to working hard in this committee, to serving this committee, and to looking for ways to make a difference, to make families stronger and more resilient. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. My name is Marie Woodson, and I represent District 105 in South Broward, which is part of Hollywood, Pembroke Pines, Miramar, Hallandale, West Park, and Pembroke Park. As a former public administrator for Miami-Dade County, I had the privilege to oversee several major divisions, such as senior services, domestic violence, children's services, Greater Miami Service Corp, and psychological services as well. I had also the privilege of being a court counselor for the juvenile court as well as the adult court. So this committee is very unique and very personal to me because I want to continue to impact lives the way that I have done in my career. So I am elated to be in this committee, and I look forward to working with my colleagues in order to continue to impact life. Madam Chair, if I might take just a few seconds to acknowledge a good friend, a council member from the great state of Boston, Massachusetts, who is in the audience, Dr. Natasha Clergy. Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Appreciate it.
Hello, everyone. I'm Peggy Gossett-Seidman, District 91, which is Boca Raton, Highland Beach, and Western Palm Beach County in the very southwest portion of Palm Beach County. I'm very honored and privileged to be here. I have 3 grown children. One is a psychiatrist graduating in June. One is a physician assistant. And my third is working on a law poli-sci degree. They are all wonderful people. My husband's an MD. When you raise 3 kids in the Boca Raton area, you learn a lot. I also worked very extensively in the schools there, doing marketing and promotions for public and private schools. We won a very prestigious case award at one of the schools, which is a national honor, very difficult and very well-deserving of the area. I worked as a reporter and a marketing promotions person for many years. One of my main challenges was working with the Chris Everett Pro Celebrity and the Ounce of Prevention Fund to ensure that the families and the children and all of the people of Palm Beach County deserve and get some of the treatment that they needed for medical and psychological conditions. Moving forward, I'm honored to be here. I was a 5-year City of Highland Beach commissioner, and that led me to run for the seat in a new district. And I'm just thrilled to be here working with fabulous people in the legislature. And thank you very much for all of the support I got back home. I think we knocked 17,000 doors, and I realized Boca Raton is not just the Boca Raton Resort and tourists and scuba diving and boating. I actually live on the Intercoastal Waterway, so I've seen that part of the county. But it is a hardworking melding of many peoples of all kinds of points of life with housing issues and schools issues. So I'm very honored to help my district really improve through this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair. Happy New Year to everybody joining us. I am Dottie Joseph, and I have the honor and privilege of representing Florida House District 108, which is entirely in Miami-Dade County. It includes Miami Shores, El Portal, Biscayne Park, parts of the city of Miami, parts of North Miami, and whole swaths of unincorporated North Dade. It is probably one of the most economically and culturally diverse districts in the entire state. We've got two Michelin star restaurants. Come check us out. That being said, so a little bit about me and what I'm interested in. I was born in Haiti, and DCF is the agency charged with administering federal dollars that are there for refugees. So that's of particular interest to me. I was raised in Miami-Dade, public schools all throughout, during which time I had the opportunity to intern at the public defender's office. So I had a front row seat at some of the things that need to be fixed in Florida. While I was at Yale, I had the opportunity to intern in Congress. So I got to see that from a different perspective in policymaking. Afterwards, I served as the acting youth director for my dad's church. So I also bring that different kind of perspective. And as a lawyer, after having graduated, so during law school, I worked with refugees in Uganda and in Cairo, Egypt, with the Refugee Law Project and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. After that, actively in the community with various law associations dealing with these issues. So I just, like many of us, have a different front row seat at a lot of the issues impacting Florida, Florida families and children in particular. And I think we all share the goal of wanting to improve their lives, improve the processes in which they interact with the state so that everybody can be better. So I'm excited to work with you all.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Our subcommittee is served by several staff members, including attorneys, analysts, administrative professionals. I'd like to introduce today our policy chief of the subcommittee, Hillary Brazell, and also our administrative assistant, Judeline Clenord. They're happy to be of assistance to you. We also have our other staff over here on the left. They are a wealth of knowledge and an incredible resource. So some of our new members who haven't worked with staff yet, please do so. They can answer so many questions for you and point you in the right direction. So we are very blessed to have an incredible staff on this committee. Don't hesitate to reach out to them if you need anything. So we're going to jump into our overview. You're going to hear me talk more than I like to talk. I, unlike most lawyers, generally try to keep things brief. But today, I think it's important, since so many of our members are new, that we do go into some of the important issues we're going to address today. As you heard in our introductions, these issues touch each and every one of our lives. And so it's the work we get to do in this committee is so important. So the agencies and programs under our subcommittee's jurisdiction are the Department of Elder Affairs, Agency for Persons with Disabilities, the Department of Children and Families, the Department of Revenue's Child Support Program. And to help you learn more about the subcommittee's jurisdiction, a briefing booklet is being delivered to your Tallahassee offices, so be on the lookout for that. Additionally, we will be hearing from these agencies directly over the course of our next two meetings, so you can be even more familiar with the work that they do. Today, Hillary and I are just going to highlight some of the major issues that are going to come before our subcommittee so you know what lies ahead. I am going to introduce the issues, and then I'm going to ask our policy chief to go over some of the recent legislation that has happened, because our subcommittee, in addition to passing new policy, part of our role is also monitoring the implementation of past policy. So the first issue I'm going to talk about today is child welfare. Florida's child welfare system identifies children and families in need of services through reports to central abuse hotlines and child protective investigations. The Department of Children and Families, or DCF, as you'll often hear it referred to, through its staff and contracted partners, works with families to address problems endangering children. In Florida, the majority of children served by the department have neglect as their primary concern. DCF's practice model is based on the safety of a child within the home by using in-home services such as parenting coaching, counseling, to maintain and strengthen the child's natural supports in his or her environment. In the event a child cannot remain safely at home with the parents, Florida's child welfare system finds safe out-of-home placements for children. After a placement assessment is done to determine the most appropriate out-of-home placement, a child may be placed with a relative, fictive kin, licensed foster parent, group home, or residential setting. In most cases, children are eventually reunified with their families, but when reunification is not possible, DCF does attempt to place the child in a permanent home with relatives or adoptive families. When permanency is not achieved, a child in foster care will age out of the system at 18 or may enter extended foster care until age 21 or 22 with a disability. DCF contracts for case management, out-of-home services, and related services with private organizations that are called community-based care lead agencies, or CBCs. The outsourced provision of child welfare services is intended to increase local community ownership of service delivery and design. The lead agencies subcontract for case management and direct care services, and there are 17 of them statewide. Hillary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Child welfare has been a focus of the subcommittee for many years, and there has been important legislation almost every year. For example, legislation has sought to increase transparency, measure outcomes, and encourage use of best practices. Legislation is focused on allowing more children to be cared for by people they know, like extended family and friends, minimizing placement moves, requiring thoughtful transitions when moves happen, and enhancing sibling connections. Increasing the skills and retention of the child welfare workforce has been a focus. Finally, the legislature has also passed legislation to help young adults who have been in foster care by better preparing them for adulthood and providing additional supports to those who do age out of the child welfare system.
Thank you. The next issue that we will address in the coming years, behavioral health safety net services. Behavioral health is also an area of emphasis in this subcommittee. Mental illness and substance abuse are associated with substantial economic and societal costs. Mental illness and substance abuse commonly co-occur. More than half of all adults with severe mental illness are further impaired by substance abuse disorders. DCF administers a statewide system of safety net services for substance abuse and mental health prevention, treatment, and recovery. It serves children and adults who are otherwise unable to obtain these services, such as individuals who are not covered under Medicaid or private insurance and cannot afford services on their own. Recovery from mental illness and substance abuse disorder is possible, and new ways of serving these individuals are increasingly being used in Florida, such as multidisciplinary teaming approaches through peers with lived experience. This mental health issue is one that is definitely near and dear to me, and I look forward to continuing to work on. Hillary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For many years, DCF contracted directly with local providers of mental health and substance abuse services across the state. However, legislation in 2001 and 2008 authorized DCF to contract for behavioral health services with regional not-for-profit managing entities to manage the day-to-day operational delivery of mental health and substance abuse care. The managing entities subcontract with the community providers who directly serve clients. Later legislation enhanced DCF oversight of managing entities align some provisions of the laws governing involuntary assessment and treatment and encourage managing entities to create no wrong door access models to serve individuals in crisis. Bills have promoted care coordination to address the needs of the adults and children with serious mental illness who are not connected to service systems. Finally, the legislature has also focused on children's mental health. For example, in 2020, House Bill 945 required the state's Medicaid agency, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, and DCF to work together to identify children who are the highest users of crisis stabilization services. It also required managing entities to work with stakeholders to create local children's system of care plans.
This is one of those areas where I like to tell people it highlights the importance of not only the work we do here, but the involvement and the partnership between what we do here and back home in our communities is so incredibly important. Because as you all know, our communities are so diverse, which means that the needs of our communities are diverse, and we need that community involvement. So that's an area where I think that's particularly important. The next issue that we will address in this subcommittee is human trafficking. The subcommittee handles legislation that addresses services for victims, particularly commercially sexually exploited children. Legislation addressing civil or criminal justice issues is typically referred to our judiciary subcommittees. Human trafficking is the control of another person for a purpose of exploitation. The commercial sexual exploitation of children is human trafficking, where girls and boys are coerced and sold for sex. According to the FBI, the average age of a sexually trafficked child is 13. Sadly, human trafficking of both adults and children is present here in Florida. It's hard for these victims to escape. They often do not see themselves as victims and won't ask for help. Oftentimes, they end up running away back to their traffickers, even when given a safe place to return. This means they return to danger and exploitation. They may even recruit other children. Responding to these needs is challenging. They have often endured many kinds of trauma over extended periods of time. Hillary?
Florida passed the Safe Harbor Act in 2012. It lets these children be treated as victims, not criminals. It created safe houses where they could get treatment. However, nearly 2 years into the law's enactment, there were only a few safe houses in Florida, and there were no specific state standards for them to meet to ensure consistent quality. Later legislation built on the Safe Harbor Act by creating new administrative requirements for DCF and the CBCs to ensure they have the infrastructure to effectively respond to these children, and creating a certification process and standards for safe houses and safe foster homes to ensure appropriate quality, and enhancing the development and coordination of state and local law enforcement and social services response to fight this scourge. Other legislation has promoted access to services for survivors who are not adjudicated dependent and thus remain outside the supervision of DCF.
The next issue is services to individuals with developmental disabilities. State-funded developmental disability services in Florida began in 1921 with the establishment of the 500-bed Florida Farm Colony. As recently as the mid to later part of the last century, families were encouraged to institutionalize their children who had developmental disabilities. By the 1970s, Florida had several Sunland centers across the state, where as many as 6,100 Floridians with developmental disabilities resided. However, after class action litigation in the 80s, alleging poor quality of care, most of these centers were closed, and their former residents and other individuals with developmental disabilities were serviced instead in their communities. To facilitate individuals living in their communities rather than institutions, the state requested home and community-based service Medicaid waiver. This agreement with the federal government allowed the state to use its federally matched funds to provide services such as personal care, residential habilitation, and therapies that supported these individuals living in their family homes, group homes, or their own personal home, rather than placing them in institutions, and to cap the eligibility at a certain number. The Agency for Persons with Disabilities operates the current waiver, while the Agency for Healthcare Administration, or ACA, oversees it. Only individuals with specific disabilities are served by this waiver, including intellectual disabilities, cerebral palsy, among several others. The Agency for Persons with Disabilities currently serves over 35,000 people in the Medicaid Home and Community-Based Services Waiver Program, known as iBudget Florida. As of September 1, 2022, the Agency for Persons with Disabilities also provided institutional care and forensic services to approximately 550 people in the three institutional settings. Hillary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Legislation over the last several years has sought to enhance the cost effectiveness and quality of waiver services so that more individuals can be served. The state sends $1.8 billion on waiver services with over 22,000 individuals waiting for Medicaid waiver enrollment.
Thank you, Hillary, and thank you, members. As you can see, and we went quickly, but we have a lot of work to do and a lot of really important issues to tackle. And I look forward to doing that with all of you based on everybody. I was taking notes for all of your backgrounds, and it's incredible the wealth of knowledge and experience that we have on this committee. And I'm really excited to work with all of you. That does conclude our agenda for today. And Vice Chair Maney moves we rise. Without objection, upon the motion of Vice Chair Maney, the meeting is adjourned.